Good morning, church family. Happy Easter to everyone. What a glorious morning this is, and we just pray that the Holy Spirit will lead our worship service, and we will be encouraged by all we learned this morning from His Word. Let me read today's scripture for us. Luke chapter 24. And the first 12 verses. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending down, he saw the strips of linen lying on themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Thank you, God, for those words. This morning's message is entitled simply, "The Resurrection." We've been in the Gospel of Luke many months, and we're starting this morning in the final chapter, chapter 24, which begins with the empty tomb and ends with the ascension. As we dig into this historical account that forever changed the world, let us try to answer three questions. First, why did Christianity arise and take the shape that it did? Secondly, what role did the women have in the narrative? And third, am I living out the resurrection life? First, why did Christianity arise and take the shape that it did? Any hopes these early disciples had concerning the Messiah had been erased by the crucifixion. We can discover this as we move forward to verse 21 in chapter 24, on the road to Emmaus, where the resurrected Jesus had hooked up with two of his disciples. Verse 21 reads, "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." We had hoped that he was the one. In John chapter 20, verse 19, he says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews." Now, what was that all about? All their hopes and dreams had come to an end. They haven't got a clue what happened, what had just happened. What were the expectations of the Jews? First, They were expecting the Messiah to defeat the pagans. Then he would rebuild the temple, and he would establish God's just rule upon the earth. And these beliefs had been fostered by their Jewish history in the Old Testament. There are many scriptures we could go to, but just for a couple, let's go to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Then in verse 9, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? And verse 11, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And then the first few verses in Psalm 43, starting in verse 1. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. What was their hope? That when the Messiah comes, he will vindicate his people. With all the miracles Jesus performed, the stories he was telling, and the things he was doing, this hope and anticipation had come to a climax of great expectation. Just when they thought their Redeemer had come, they walked past Calvary and saw a sorry sight, their hopes of the Messiah hanging on a tree. And when he cried out, "It is finished," they must have agreed, "Yes, it is finished. All hope is gone." Now, on this side of the resurrection, having the New Testament before us, we have a different understanding of these verses than these first century Jews. We are supported in our belief that this was the Messiah fulfilling the plan of redemption. But to the original audience, all their hopes and dreams were destroyed. The kingdom was not coming. So how did Christianity arise from this little band of followers whose messianic hopes had been buried in the Palestinian tomb? Why did they not only continue to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but actually hit the streets in an unashamed and courageous declaration that Jesus was who we've been looking for our Messiah? Why did they do this? The answer comes and is recorded for us throughout the New Testament. It was because of the bodily resurrection of Jesus. If he had remained in the tomb, there was absolutely no explanation as to why anyone would have taken seriously his claims of messiahship. Listen to what the Apostle Paul later writes concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you're ever interested in learning more about what Paul has to say about the resurrection, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where you need to go. Let me just read the first few verses of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I have preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. You see, it was only in their recognition of his risen presence that the story of the Bible made sense. We have been studying the Gospel of Luke for many months, and I'd like to remind you how it all began back in chapter 1. Very important how it starts. Chapter 1, verse 1. Dr. Luke says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. He says, first, the gospel is the result of careful investigation. On the basis of that, he has provided for us an orderly account. And finally, he has done all this in order that his readers may know for certain of the things he has been teaching. John says elsewhere, what they were dealing with is historical information. The things that the apostle had seen with their own eyes, heard with their own ears, and in many cases had handled and touched. These folks were eyewitnesses to the activities surrounding the resurrection. Now, those who today consider the resurrection as mythology or old wives' tales are following on in the example of the apostles themselves. They were skeptics. For example, when the women told them what they experienced at the tomb, Scripture says they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. After all, it was just a bunch of women talking about what they had seen. Second, The second reason for disbelief comes as a result of the different information found in the four gospel accounts. But you see, these inconsistencies are not of the substance of faith, but are minor differences. We would find, for example, in the eyewitness accounts reported by Fox News, as compared to CNN, as compared to CBS. We, for example, if we're traveling down the road, husband and wife, and we're giving an account of something we have seen simultaneously, I'll guarantee you, the account would be different in some respects. The third reason of doubt for the resurrection comes with the stature of the women themselves, much different from the role of women today. In the first century, women didn't figure in the court of law. In fact, their testimony was inadmissible in a court of law. A Jewish man, in his prayers, would thank God that he had not been born a Gentile or a woman. Speaking of women, let's examine what role the women played in this narrative. Back in Luke chapter 23, verse 27, Luke says a large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. In verse 49, but all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Verse 55, the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. And then in our scripture today, chapter 24 continues the activities of these women. First, to receive the news of the resurrection, they prepared the spices and perfumes to anoint Jesus' body. They were going to anoint a dead body that had been dead for some time. It's funny how sometimes our hearts overrule our heads. This is not only common to women, but also men. Sometimes our hearts create a situation where our common sense doesn't prevail. In Mark chapter 16, listen to how Mark starts off his version of the resurrection. Chapter 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? Amazing, isn't it? The thought just occurred to them. How would they get the gigantic stone rolled away from the tomb in order to work with the body? They were in need of some strong, brave men. Some strong, brave men. Brave men. Brave men. Some strong, brave men who were all hiding behind locked doors. While the strong, active, committed, devoted women went to the tomb. To add to their amazement of the stone being rolled away and no body in the tomb, was the appearance of what John says is two angels. Remember, they were at the arrival of Jesus, at his birth. They announced his birth, in fact, the angels. These two angels say to the women, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" Fact is, they weren't looking for a live person. They were looking for a dead person. That's why they had all the stuff in their hands. I wonder who we are looking for today. A dead nice fella? A great teacher? A dead prophet? Or a living, risen, redeeming Jesus who walks and talks with us and actually changes our lives? We are not here this morning to celebrate the memory of someone who was around. We're here to worship the presence of somebody who is alive. Verse 7, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, be raised again." And then verse 8 says, "Then they remembered his words." You see, when the women interpreted these events, what they had experienced, in light of his words, what he had told them, their confusion began to turn to clarity. Now, as we have examined the devotion and steadfastness of these women, we come to our final question this morning. Am I living out the resurrection life? In our world today, what is influencing our minds more, the Holy Spirit or the world? Are we living in the world, or are we observed as being of this world? In this world of suspicion, mistrust, fear, and doubt, am I living out joy, hope, peace, and love? Some churches are ready to challenge the world in name. For example, they are challenging same-sex marriage and abortion. They are holding the line on many social issues, and this is all well and good. But who is doing the stuff with the orphans? The neighbor found all alone as a widow, and a COVID survivor unable to say goodbye to their passing loved one. James tells us, chapter 1, verse 27, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." It's great when churches take a stand. But are we getting our hands dirty in the process? Are we involving ourselves in those who are needing help? Who is, in a culture of mistrust, displaying the amazing love of Jesus that reaches into people whose lives are despairing, shattered, and unraveled? Who is communicating the fact that in this resurrection story, there is a whole new way of viewing the world, and doing it with joy and with gentleness and with genuine respect. You know how I am with hymns, old hymns, and there's some great ones that are certainly available during the Easter Passion Week. Let me read the words to one that is seldom sung, but the words are very appropriate for what we are studying today. Christ is risen from the dead. Christ is risen from the dead. He is risen as he said. Never since the heavens rang with the song the angels sang on the morning of his birth had such gladness come to earth. Quickly were the tidings spread. Christ is risen from the dead. Gone the garden of agony, dreadful death at Calvary. Gone the hours of hopeless gloom while he lingered in the tomb. Like the waking did it seem from the terrifying dream. Now what rapturous joy instead. Christ is risen from the dead. Christian brothers, shout and sing. Death has lost its ancient sting. Christ, the crucified before, is alive forevermore. Grave, where is thy victory now? See the light upon his brow. Empty, see the stony bed. Christ is risen from the dead. Heirs of glory, through his grace, tears be dried from every face. Be your hearts no longer sad. On this Easter day, be glad. Faith and hope are not in vain. You are born to live again. Every soul be comforted. Christ is risen from the dead. Let's bow our heads. May the reality of the risen Christ consume all that we do, that we may be able to tell people the good news that the kingdom has come. And may grace, mercy, and peace from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and remain with each one today and forevermore. Amen. God bless. Happy Easter.